Welcome back to the Lyme Podcast. My name is Aaron Alexander. This is a place that we bring together the world's leading experts on all things health and wellness to help you optimize your mind, body, and movement. Today's conversation is all about tissue regeneration beyond what would seem possible or common in the modern world. The guest today is Dave Asprey. You probably know him from the brand Bulletproof, the Bulletproof Diet, things of the like. He has a new book referred to as Work Smarter, Not Harder. And we get into some of the stuff from that on how we can make our training more efficient to get more from the time that we spend in our homes and the gyms to optimize our health, wellness, and particularly in this conversation, tissue health. So if you got an injury, this conversation is for you. If you got a friend, family, anybody just wants better quality metabolic and structural health, I think that Dave shared a ton of valuable information in this. So get your notepad out. I think there was really a lot of good stuff in here, and I'm very grateful for how concise and packed this conversation was. Thank you guys so much for subscribing so you get each week's episodes. Thanks for checking this out over at YouTube at Align Podcast. Subscribe over there so you can see the video version of this podcast as well as instructional content. Thank you also for leaving us 5-star reviews for this podcast wherever you are listening to it. It is very helpful. I read all of them and it means a lot. That is it. That is all. Let's get to it with Dave Asprey.
Yeah, the body's, you know, getting to connect with you today. You really genuinely have a youthfulness in your connective tissue, fluidity, and a hydration, and that is something that I really value. I'm like a bit body centric. I'm cellular centric, and to be connected with somebody in that way and get to actually like feel what's happening within their nervous system, their connective tissue, I appreciate that. And it seems like you're doing a really good job.
Thank you. It's weird when you're into longevity and you're doing all these different therapies and stem cells and all the stuff that I've done. Well, some of it you can see, like, okay, what does your skin look like on your face or whatever? But some of the inner vibrancy, mitochondrial function, tissue plasticity, information planes, that gets younger too, but you can't really see it unless you've, I mean, people you've poked and prodded, but it's gotta be like 10,000 people. So
quite a bit.
You have a distribution. So. Yeah. It's cool. But I want to go back. You said the body doesn't lie. I think the body lies all the time.
Oh, tell me about it.
So here we go. You're going to pick up a dumbbell.
Yep.
You pick it up and the body says, I can't because I'll get injured. It doesn't tell you because I'll get injured, but that's why it gives you that pain signal. It says like, if I do any more, gravity might wobble and then it might accelerate and then it'll be too much and I could get injured. So your proprioceptors give you what you think is pain.
Yeah.
Well, that's a lie, because your capacity for lifting is probably 2 or 3 times what you think it is.
Yeah.
It's just that you have these systems that are lying to you about your capacity. And so one of the things that I've been doing for, 20 years now, and one of the things that...
They call it retard strength.
Retard strength?
Retard strength.
I don't think you can say that, man.
That's like...
It's a differently abled strength.
The belief system, if you go beyond the planes of what is acceptable within the body, the body's like, oh yeah, sure. But the common motor unit recruitment for a person, which is like the little cells that activate your muscle fibers, for a person, like an untrained person, from last I read, I think it's like 40% or 30 or 40%. A highly trained person, you're going to be getting up around like 70, 80%. There's still that 20% remainder where your nervous system is just saying like, we're just not going to engage because it's too freaking dangerous. Whereas if you don't have that governor, in some ways it's more dangerous, but you also tap into some well that's just untapped for most people. That is a politically correct definition for retard strength.
I'm just going to walk around saying, guys, I have retard strength. What could go wrong, Aaron? So it's actually a technical use of the term, and I have no issues with it.
Yeah,
I've been called that enough times growing up.
Yeah.
So... What I've done in some of the biohacking, and this is like the strength chapter of my new book, it's that you can use different signals to show the body that it's set wrong and it'll become more accurate. And one of them is, you know, intense training, which you clearly, I mean, you know tons about that. But some of it's AI driven and some of it is resistance bands, which you work with a lot because they have a different load. And a different loading changes the retard strength.
Yeah.
And for me, one of the most powerful ones is electrical stimulation, because then you can force the muscles to go beyond their retard strength and the nervous system goes, you're going to die. And I've done this for like hundreds of people.
Well, going beyond normie strength, entering into retard strength.
There you go. Yeah, you
can commoner strength is like a strong governor. If you snap the governor off, then you enter into the realm of retard strength.
There you go.
We'll probably have to edit all of that out, so I apologize. Apologize to the editors.
You don't have to apologize. Look, it's a scientific word. You have a spark retarder, and it turns down the strength. That's a part of a car. So yeah, when words that describe engineering terms are no longer acceptable, that means people have mental illness, and they need to do some
sensitivity
work
around language is challenging anyway. Yeah, like the literal term to retard is to like depress or to lower. Like it's actually a completely fine word, and so you could say retard, which could mean diminishing that governor that blocks you from strength. So that's just for the record, that's how I'm using the term. I'm using it as a literal Webster's definition of to retard.
Maybe I can help. If you're feeling triggered right now, that means you're walking around with a loaded gun, and that's not very polite, so you should get a therapist. Did that help?
I agree with that as well.
I just like, I'm sorry. People use words in different ways.
How can a person start? Because so we both use a device referred to as a newbie from a good friend called Garrett.
He's been on my show. Yeah.
He's a sweetie. I really love him. He's been very helpful to me. He's like, anytime I text him, he's like, what can I do? I got you. So I really appreciate what they do at NewFit and the newbie device specifically. There's a lot of complex potentialities. What do you do with it?
I mentioned it in here too.
Oh, cool. Yeah. Smarter, Not Harder is the most recent book.
That's the new biohacking book.
That's arrived. And I want to get into in this conversation.
Yeah, but we can talk about whatever. Guys, I have a new book. It's awesome. If you're into biohacking and movement and recovery and strength and stuff, you should buy Smarter, Not Harder. There, we said it.
So bam.
We
can talk
about fun stuff.
Out.
All right.
Got it sorted. Now, what the hell is electrical stimulation? Right. What are some ways that we can quote unquote hack strength?
Most listeners know about TENS units.
Yeah.
TENS units are, they're toys for the most part. If you have a specific muscle knot, you can put TENS on it and it'll get better. Then there's frequency specific microcurrent. Which is like Dr. Tennant's work. If you guys haven't heard of him, don't worry, Jerry Tennant is a legend in the field. There, instead of just doing what a little TENS tingly unit that you've probably tried does, they send a signal in with different frequencies that can change how your body reacts. That's cool stuff. But what I'm doing is mixed waveform EMS, it's called. And this started in the 1960s, when the East Germans and Russians would take their Olympic athletes, they would anesthetize them, and then they would, you know, put a wooden bite thing in them, and then they'd run electrical current over the muscles, in order to show the muscles that their retard strength level was set wrong. They would wake up and they'd get stronger. Problem was, you and me don't really want to use heavy duty chemicals that knock out your brain in order to reset some of the body's systems. So
unless it's intramuscular ketamine and there's a shaman nearby, then I'm down.
Yeah, me too. sign me up. But it's better be a good shaman or I'm not in.
I want crystals, shaman. I want a Bose speaker with some barangi music.
Some sage.
I'm actually serious.
So am I.
Yeah, good. All right. So using frequency, what is frequency specific microcurrent? Because this is something that...
Well, this is not frequency specific. This is mixed waveform.
Yeah,
so
sorry.
The frequency specific stuff, that is when you were to say pulse the frequency at a certain amount, like 10,000 hertz or 7,500 hertz to cause a specific response.
Yep.
And so frequency specific microcurrent is like a special scalpel, a very detailed, like a fine paintbrush. And one of the things that it can do is if you run frequency, or they call it FSM, frequency specific microcurrent, over acupuncture points around your eyes, you can reverse macular degeneration. And I found out about that because my dad had macular degeneration. This is years ago. Did all kinds of research and found, there's an electrical way to do this. So these tiny little trickle currents that tickle and tease the cells and the pathways and the networks in the body to do things, that's awesome.
Yeah,
but that's not what I'm doing. I do that sometimes, but that's not what I'm doing specifically for the major muscles and to edit my nervous system's view of how strong I am.
Yeah.
What that is the mixed waveform. It's what they did with the Russians and the Germans.
Frequency specific microcurrent is something that I'm actually recently being turned on to it in the last probably 6 months or so.
I didn't
even realize that the newbie device actually does that. And I'm not trying to promote the newbie or whatever.
Newbie doesn't do FSM.
I think it does.
No, it doesn't.
Really?
Yeah.
I just talked to Garrett and I watched several YouTube videos of people using the newbie for FSM.
I would want to talk to him about it.
Okay.
So I have the newbie at home. You can go between, I don't know, the lower level is probably like 10 hertz or something and 500 hertz.
Yeah.
The frequency specific microcurrent devices that I have worked with, things like what they're doing, Energy for Life or NES or Dr. Tennant's work, it's a very broad range up to like 100,000 hertz. Okay. And it's a tiny little tingle. You can do a few things like putting the EMS, the NeuFit stuff on the heels of your feet and on the back of your neck, and you can calm the nervous system that way. And you might say that's a little frequency specific, but what we're talking about is playing a song, like a very specific song with tiny amounts of electricity over specific parts of the body.
Yeah.
And usually you have little tiny probes you can hit acupuncture points or very small stickers. With the NeuFit, which I'm a huge fan of, the stickers are big. And the current is a little bit more than the micro they normally do. Like, I mean, you've seen people, you know, completely lock up from it. And there's videos of me, you know, my hands are like
this.
You
just do lower power and set to all the different frequencies. I don't know enough about it to speak on any authoritative way, but from what they told me is you can set, because it's, you know, up to like 0 to 500 as far as the frequencies. So you can set specific frequencies and you got to do different things on each pad. And then it would be kind of like much lower power, and apparently you can be tapping.
You can make some stuff happen. Think of it like a metronome. So a metronome's like dun 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 dun. That's cool, because that's different than just having a constant stream of electricity. What you would be doing with the highly detailed frequency specific devices is like playing Mozart.
Yeah, right.
You still need a metronome, but you need all the layers of the music.
Yeah.
So I kind of look at the tens as like I had a one knot in the muscle in my low back and maybe it'll help.
Yeah, it's like a hammer.
Yeah, I don't really use it. And then I would use a frequency specific thing if I was having like a twitch or some kind of neurological thing. I was looking to speed healing because there's great data for speeding healing. Mm. And I can introduce you to Dr. Tennant if you want.
I love that.
I think he's like 80. He's like the godfather of the field of frequency specifics.
Yeah, that'd be great.
And then what Garrett's doing with NeuFit, and there's a couple other companies who are using this thing, is use one wave of electricity to kind of confuse the nervous system and then another one to stimulate it so you don't have to knock yourself out. Mm. And at the very first biohacking conference, when I was just starting the movement, this is 10 years ago in San Francisco, I brought a bunch of devices in and had all 100 attendees. Now it's like 3,000 people go to the biohacking conference.
Yeah, great conference. Crazy. Really, I think of the conferences, I would say it might be my favorite. It's one of my favorites for sure. It's really well curated conference.
Thank you. Yeah. We work really hard all year on it, but it's fun. But back then there was 100 people, so there was enough you could just, like, everyone in the room was running electricity over each other because I wanted people to like feel what happens when something else is in charge of your muscles except for you, because what happens is fear. And then for most people, 80% they experience pain and 20% start laughing like you're tickling them. And then you ask them to be curious about it, and curiosity is the antidote for fear, in any kind of fear. So they're like, actually, it's not really fear. And so let's say I had, you know, electrodes on my bicep. So we turn them on and I'm like, oh my God, there's something else in charge of my arm. And then, you know, I'd say, well, move the arm. And then it's like, well, I can't. And you go, well, shut up, actually. That's bullshit. You can. And then they concentrate and they go, and all of a sudden they can. And as soon as they can, the nervous system doesn't show them pain anymore.
Yeah, sure.
That's why I say it lies to you. It's like, you'll die if you move your arm. And then you move the arm anyway. It goes, oh, sorry, I was wrong. Let me just change that setting.
Yeah. I agree with that. And that gets into, which I don't really, the direction, because we have a limitation on time.
Sure.
I really wish we had more time, which we ended up doing bodywork session and ramp stuff before, which I'm grateful to get to have done that. I think it was a great usage of time.
I can come back to you if that works.
Yeah, I would like to go into, but I really want to make sure we touch on regenerative medicine, because I think that's something that you've been really deeply entrenched in for a very long time.
Thank you.
And like I said, like upon actually connecting with you today, which I haven't actually seen with your shirt off and like right beside me, you actually, it seems like you are doing something right in the way of connective tissue health. And so I would like to talk about stem cells. I'd like to talk about exosomes. I'd like to talk about
deep on that.
like, what is it? Because there's a lot of experimental stuff out there, a lot of stuff that maybe has been around for a while, but now it's starting to have a resurgence of popularity. There's a lot of fear and suspicion around different things. If you talk to, and I've gone semi-deep into a lot of these different, you know, annals of regenerative medicine, and each camp is strongly biased, and they say that, like, we are the only thing, that everything else is bad, everything else is dangerous. And then you go to the next camp over, they say the exact same thing. It's what? It's scary out there. It's confusing out there.
Welcome to my life.
Yeah. So could we do like regenerative medicine 101?
Let's go deep.
If a person wants to start to be experimenting and tinkering a little bit with things like outside of just eating carnivore diet or something of the sort, like outside of just the standard basic, sleep better, eat better, exercise.
Yeah. You know that those are standard basic now, but 10 years ago when you said those things, people would get angry and say it didn't matter and it couldn't be.
Yeah.
Like the world has shifted a lot.
Anybody listening to this, I think is very like they're down with a general holistic approach at health.
Good.
So low hanging fruit. We've talked about it ad nauseum. We get it. Exercise, relationships, we grab a therapist, work on your emotional stuff, eat decent food, drink decent water, we're doing it.
Get some sunshine.
Yeah. Get a lot of sunshine.
I'm messing with you.
Yeah. So the baseline stuff sorted out. Okay. We want to go kind of like tech.
So I'm going to mention one of the books, which is kind of my go-to resource for this. It's called Superhuman. And guys, I'm not trying to sell you any books. It doesn't change my life in any way if you buy one of my books. Like I might make a dollar, but I probably haven't earned back my advance.
It's
anyway.
Just like the compendium where you're putting this information.
It's just thousands of hours of structuring it into how to think about it. So if that's if that's your jam, that's the book. It's the longevity book. And I'm about to launch a longevity venture fund to invest in companies that are making us regenerate so we can live way longer. Mm. And what you said is so accurate. Anytime you have a new field emerging, you'll get someone who has a fervent belief, enough passion that maybe they spent 20 years tinkering in a laboratory and they are convinced that that is the way. And anyone else who has a different way is a bad person because it's not your way. Mm-hmm. This is a psychological thing that humans have.
Sure.
And it's so annoying.
It's tribalism.
It's tribalism. And it's also what happens in older healing things, even the different spiritual things or, you know, TCM versus Ayurveda. And you end up realizing that
COVID.
It's okay. Yeah. You got to beep that out. Otherwise, I'll censor the show. It was Corvid, which is Corvid is a type of crow. So this is all about birds, I guess. Right?
Sorry. Sorry.
So in the lineage system of learning, well, I'm in this lineage and this is my guru. And then this other goes, well, that's a bad guru. And so everyone's kind of gathering things to their camp. And the same thing happens at universities. So, well, you know, I believe in this. And if you don't believe in it, you're wrong and I'll cancel you. So the cancel culture has been a part of human society forever. It's just out of control now. God, I want to say that it's retarded, but that would be bad. So I'm not going to say
that. Yeah. Yeah. It's retarding our access to humanity.
Thank you. Yeah. Yes. Limiting in an unnatural way.
Yeah.
I guess this is the time to admit that I actually was on the short bus as a kid. I had Asperger's syndrome. So,
oh, wow.
There you go.
Oh, goddamn. Yeah. That's why you're so eccentric in certain directions and such.
It's why I see patterns the way I do. But I healed the neurological inflammation, all that stuff. So regenerative medicine, how do you come back from that? Well, some of it's even what you do. It's training every part of the nervous system. So I retrained my eyes, my ears, my movement, like all this crazy stuff.
So you literally were on the quote-unquote short bus, like the special interest or special ed or whatever.
I was also
bus.
In the gifted class.
Yeah, sure.
Which is part of the special ed
wow,
program.
Bro.
But yeah, they would call me a sped, you know, for special ed because I was. But
how was that for you as a kid?
When you have Asperger's syndrome, it's like everything in the world is staticky and fuzzy, but you don't know it because it's always been that way. So you're constantly straining to like understand anything. Mm. And so then when you don't understand social cues and you're, you know, you're the fat kid who's bigger than everyone else and the smallest kid with Napoleon complex tries to take you down. I did a lot of teaching of physics to smaller aggressive bullies. Mm. In other words, I would beat the shit out of them after they started it. Mm. So I've been in a lot of fights, but I've done all of the trauma healing and all that. I can kind of look at it and be curious and it's kind of humorous about it now.
Mm. Was there sadness there?
Oh, yeah, I was angry. And anytime you have anger, it's actually hiding sadness. Like they're like Russian nested dolls. That's what I teach in my neuroscience thing. And I had all of that and I did all the healing and trauma and emotional integration work for it. Because when you have Asperger's, you don't have time to pay attention to emotions because you can barely sense the world around you. Mm. And I'm just blessed and happy to be where I am.
Was there feelings of like unlovability? Because I've dealt with that most of my life, and I have really no overt reason.
This is why I say the body does lie. Like the body has an intuitive side that is truthful, and it has a trauma program side that will deceive you. Mm-hmm. And that's the ego. And the ego emerges from inside the cells in your body as a distributed consciousness through all of your tissues. Mm. That's why people have emotional releases when you push on their hips and they start crying or have an orgasm or something.
Yeah, sure.
It was stored there, but it's invisibly stored. So in the new book, I talk about the meat operating system. It has a third of a second to react to the world around you. And then your brain gets the first sign that anything happened. So
it's like the POS 90 or something. What is the acronym for that? I was listening to your podcast with Luke Story. You had a term for it, some kind of neurological term.
The meat OS.
Okay, I thought you. All right, maybe it was a made up term.
I think we just made up something to be.
All right.
I didn't take enough antiracetam to remember that one. But we'll talk about regeneration because my whole life, that time I was 26, I had weighed 300 pounds. I'd gone to the gym 90 minutes a day, 6 days a week on a low fat, low calorie diet, and not lost any weight, even though I got stronger.
Yeah.
And I'd had arthritis since I was 14, chronic fatigue syndrome, high risk of stroke and heart attack, and crippling brain fog. So this is what's supposed to happen to you when you're like 70. Mm-hmm. Oh, my brain's turning off, my knees hurt all the time, and I'm fat, and I have prediabetes, and high risk of stroke and heart attack, and my lab test. Dude, that was me before I was 30. Mm-hmm. Fortunately, I was a co-founder of a part of the company that built the first data centers for the internet. So when Google was two guys with two computers, they were using our stuff and the Facebook and all that. So I made some money, like $6 million when I was 26. So I'm like, I'm gonna hack myself. I fired my doctor because he said vitamin C would kill me. And I went on this path of hating all doctors for 4 years and learning everything I could. And I finally went to this, what we would now call functional medicine doctor or regenerative medicine doctor. And I said, you're just a permission slip. I was a little bit pissed. I had toxic mold, forgive me. Mm-hmm. I said, you're just a permission slip because I need this lab test from this company to see if I have this thing and I want this treatment plan. And I had it all mapped out in a flow chart. And she looked at me. I don't know if she remembers this. Her name is Dr. Christine Green. She looked at me and she goes, would it be okay if I just helped you order which ones to test for first? I'm like, okay. And then I started to learn that I could trust functional medicine or regenerative medicine doctors because they wouldn't gaslight me the way I'd been gaslit by the Palo Alto Medical Foundation when they're telling me nothing's wrong with you. And I'm like, I can't think. So
yeah, it'd be frustrating.
That whole story, the reason I'm telling you is I had all this stuff that happens when you're old, when I was young, and I had some money. By the way, I lost the $6 million when I was 28. So
nice.
Sadly.
Nice. Strippers and blow?
No. I'll say, this is what venture investors and boards of directors will do. So there was corporate malfeasance that crashed the whole company. So certain people could get $20 million golden parachutes. It was so dirty. We built a $1 billion company from scratch and it got killed by greed.
God dang.
Seen it happen before. You'll see it happen some more. It's a part of the cycle.
Fucking humans.
Yep. So I forgot what I was talking about.
Well, so specific questions that I have, stem cells,
okay.
Exosomes.
I'm getting there for you right now.
All right.
In that backdrop, I had to heal all this. So I started attending and then running one of the first anti-aging nonprofit education research groups in Palo Alto by Stanford University. I learned all of this regenerative stuff from people in their 70s, 80s, and 90s who were becoming younger and teaching me how to fix myself. And that was the genesis of the biohacking movement. So I'm like, oh my God, I have all this knowledge. Why does anyone under 60 do this? Because we didn't know it made us better now.
Right.
That's why regenerative medicine, if you're listening and you're 20 or 25, knowing this stuff and listening to this show, it's going to teach you how to do things that cost pennies, that prevent things that cost hundreds of dollars later. And you get more power and more focus and more energy now. That's why everyone needs to know about this. It's not for people as they age. It's not just for when you're injured. But let's talk about how to heal. Because whether you're injured or old, it's the same damn thing. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, how do we heal? Real quick.
Quicker
than what humans, the common narrative of the possibility of healing.
Oh my God, I just realized I have the best resource for you for that.
Perfect.
DaveAsprey.com/heal.
All right.
I did a mini documentary on what to do to heal from surgery twice as fast as you're supposed to. And I did after they cut the bone in my foot in half.
Oh, great.
So this is like a summary. Literally just watch that. It's a like a half hour, 40 minutes. And it's got like this tool, this tool, this tool.
Cool.
But how do you heal faster? You increase voltage in the cell.
Mm-hmm.
Because we believe that we are mostly chemical beings. That's because back in the early 1900s, there was a fight between basically Rockefeller's funded chemical companies trying to sell chemical drugs and a large number of natural healing professionals using herbs or electricity like Tesla and Royal Rife. And so there was a fight. The American Medical Association, a guy named Morris Fishbein, tried to buy the electrical technology to heal people. When Royal Rife wouldn't sell it, he used the AMA and enforcement regulations to burn all of his research, most of it anyway, and to put him out of business. And they forced a view of ourselves as chemical beings, like meat robots. The reality is we're so electrical, we're also light and magnetic and quantum based. And bioelectricity is what controls healing. So if someone has like a recent injury or a recent surgery, frequency specific microcurrent will radically improve healing. And so will light therapy with lasers.
Mm-hmm.
You want red and infrared and amber or even LEDs. That's my light therapy company makes one of the few things that uses amber. Amber fixes small blood vessels. Red light actually adds electrons to the system because you need more electrons. That's why you eat food to make electrons out of it. And infrared light changes the structure of water in your cells so that the cells work better.
What do you think of stacking that with methylene blue?
I have changed my opinions about methylene blue. I just recorded an episode of The Human Upgrade.
And then we'll get back to the thing, but just because that's a very common stack.
It's a short answer.
Yeah.
Methylene blue with red light therapy, there's great evidence for it for especially antimicrobial stuff. Like if you have a UTI or something.
Right. That's why it's used in fish tanks.
Yeah, in fish tanks.
Antifungal, antimicrobial.
Yeah, so you could like use it IV and then put a red light over the abdomen and it'll work for that. But the idea that it's going to improve mitochondrial function, I think the guy who was on my show, Chris Masterjohn, I think he's fundamentally shown that unless you have really broken mitochondria, it does not improve healthy people's mitochondrial function. Mm. And it acts as an antidepressant. So
antidepressant.
Yeah, it's an MAO-B inhibitor like an SSRI.
Oh.
So the problem is if you take an antidepressant and it gives you energy and you think it's because you hacked your mitochondria.
Mm.
Mm. But there are studies that show topical methylene blue, like painting an injury with it, does improve collagen thickness, but you're going to look like a smurf. You can't just use a couple drops.
Wow, you could paint methylene blue on an injury site.
Hell yeah.
And then blast it with red light?
Wow. But what works even better, or maybe in conjunction, and one of the things that was really a big deal in my healing when they cut the bone in my foot and rebuilt the big toe joint, was, and I did an episode on this that's in that healing documentary that I did. Yeah. And by the way, that's free. That's just a gift for everyone.
Cool.
It's I'm not trying to sell anything and not collecting whatever's. Yeah. It's just like, I want you to know.
Yeah.
But ozone therapy in a bag over wherever the injury site is, magical.
Ozone therapy in a bag over the injury site.
So what I did is I put the equivalent of a trash bag over my lower leg with a hose going in from my ozone machine. And I sat for a half hour a day with ozone gas permeating the entire place.
What's happening there?
Sterilizes the entire injury. There is nothing that will grow there. In fact, the surgeon, the day after the surgery, and this is a major surgery, they took 3 millimeters out of the bone in my foot, like went deep and all that. This is Dr. Ali Sadre in Los Angeles in Beverly Hills, who does like a lot of pro athletes, big toe joints.
Mm.
And he just said, Dave, stop taking antibiotics. Because I generally won't take antibiotics, but after a bone surgery, you don't want biofilm. So I took one pill and he says, oh man, you just don't need to. Like this wound is the cleanest wound I've ever seen. It doesn't even smell infected.
Mm.
So the speed of healing goes way up. Ozone also donates electrons to cells.
Yeah.
So if you do this right, you use laser with or without methylene blue or LED therapy. Then you do ozone bagging. You can do it either order, it doesn't really matter, right? And you get ozone because the gas permeates in from the skin. And it makes sure that you have a sterile site. And you can do this on an injured knee too. And then you can say, all right, it's starting to heal really fast. I've done my light. Then you can add PEMF.
Sure.
Nikki Bella, who is a WWE wrestler, came down to Upgrade Labs, my healing franchise, a few years ago, and had
great place. I'm a fan.
Oh, thank you, man. Yeah. You know, we're opening three of them in Austin.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's cool.
I'm super stoked. Fifth Street's the first one.
Yeah.
And
are you still going to do those? What do you call those? I did a bunch from the Meet the Hacker or whatever things.
Yeah, we'll just do meetups. Although there's many meetups in Austin. I love Austin. There's all kinds of cool stuff going on.
Anything that creates a community,
yeah.
I like.
Yeah, and I'm happy to support whatever community is already there. Like this,
yeah, right.
You know, I don't have to replace anything that already exists. Yeah. So what we did, though, is we used on her neck injury that had been chronic, PEMF. And so we have a specific device that does pulsed electromagnetic frequencies.
Is it pulse?
No, actually, those are,
I like pulse.
They're absurdly expensive.
38,000 or something.
Yeah. They're like,
yeah, we just got one.
Three times more than others on the market and do. Yeah,
there's also the Arc.
Yeah.
That's one I'm familiar with. I haven't used it.
There's,
I talked to the founder.
There's about 10 different brands.
Yeah.
I vetted all of them, to figure out the system.
There's another one that you might be interested in called the Electron Plus, which is also very expensive, but it's called guided PEMF. And it's the practitioner stands on a pad that's emitting PEMF current through their body, and then goes out into your hand. And so if you're a manual therapist or just generally a sensitive person that can feel connective tissue, you can pass that PEMF current through and you can find places where there's dysregulation and it'll start to kind of like bring it back.
Have you ever done that with the electricity?
I don't know.
Talk to Garrett at New Fit. So one of the things I'll do, and so you're like a super pro. You just fixed something going on in my shoulder and range of motion and functional movement. So I huge respect there.
Thanks, man.
Craft. I know 10% of that maybe.
Yeah.
And when I'm, you know, helping someone who has stuff going on, what I'll do is I'll put a pad on them to run electricity through them, and I'll put a pad on myself to run electricity through myself.
Yeah.
And so we're connecting a circuit, and then you get your fingers wet and you run your fingers like along the spine. And at one point I'll feel pain, and that's right where they have the problem. And if you move down, you don't feel it. So you can laser in on adhesion and tissues and knotted muscles and problems. And the way the protocol works is you do that, then you stick an electrode right on the part where there's a problem.
Oh, sure. Yeah. That's how, it's called scanning with the newbie thing.
But
yeah.
When you're scanning, you're relying on the person to tell you when it hurts. When you're using your own fingers and it's running through you, you're using your nervous system to feel their pain.
Right. That's interesting.
So what's funny though, when you put that electrode right on the spot, that's a spot that has low voltage.
Yeah, exactly.
And you use electricity to raise voltage. So what we're really doing with all this food and MCT oil and going into keto, and hopefully you guys are doing cyclical keto the way I've been talking about, not all keto all the time.
It just seems intuitively obvious.
Yeah, but I got really sick. I did, not what you call carnivore, but I did it for 3 or 4 months straight when I was testing the Bulletproof diet. And gee, I got leaky gut and egg allergies from it. Not the best outcome, but what I should have done was been keto for a week or carnivore for a week or maybe even for a month and then stopped and gone back. So anyway,
just generally speaking, absolutism, dogmatism, and extremism is usually not going to be advantageous for the health of a body, which it arcs and ebbs and flows and it's cyclical.
So I just heard you say don't eat Impossible Burgers. Is that what that said?
I mean, I generally would not align with an Impossible Burger. Yeah, that's correct.
Wow, that was a very kind way of
I don't really know enough about what's in it, to be honest. I mean I support regenerative farming. I don't support monocropping. I don't support like pesticides and things of the like. And the thing that I hope we don't stay on this topic too long, but now you got me. The thing that I don't like is I don't like pretense, and I don't when someone is advertising themselves as being something like, we're a hero, everyone else is bad, you know, we're like the virtuous ones, like we're not into death. Meanwhile, they're actually, there's so much death and killing behind that, and also long-term devastation to soil. So that's the thing that actually does create a little bit of a sense of like irk within me. In that sense, I would say like strong, no, I do not like what they represent. But the actual contents of them, my sense is they're probably, my very, very strong opinion would be you'd be way better off eating a regenerative farm burger and just like, you know, being like a human.
You'd be better off fasting.
Yeah.
So I don't know. We haven't maybe talked about this before. I built and ran a regenerative farm in Canada because building soil is so important. I grow all my own animals, sheep and pigs and cows and stuff. So we're aligned there.
Yeah.
The reason I bring that up is you learn about regenerative medicine when you're working with animals. And so much of what you and I just talked about, pulsed electromagnetic frequencies and light therapy, lasers in particular, they were approved for use on racehorses.
Yeah.
And then the very cutting edge functional medicine doctors would say, well, I'm not really allowed to use this on people, but I will anyway. And they'd get magic healing. And then five or 10 years later. So all the first round of biohacking gear I bought in the late 90s was approved for horses and not humans, but it healed me.
Mm-hmm.
And even ozone therapy started out in animals, and actually started out in the Civil War or something, but then it got moved to animals and people.
Yeah.
So what's happening in all of this is when you peel everything off, everything I just talked about increases electrical flow in the places that are low. And there's something called a current of injury. And you can measure this with electrodes, you know, very, very detailed and fine grained ones. And the electricity where there's an incision or an injury, it drops.
Yep.
And so when you restore that, the healing happens faster. And mm-hmm. we learn this by looking at salamanders. So salamanders can regrow their limbs, which is remarkable. So we've studied that, and there was actually a Nobel Prize granted for the guy who figured out you could heal a disjointed fracture where there was a gap in the bone. You just have to amputate. He's like, but what if you run electricity on this side and this side? Well, then the bones will grow where the electricity flows.
Mm.
Well, now they're studying a creature called the axolotl. And axolotls are the Wolverine of animals. You can crush their entire spinal cord and it'll just grow back. You can, and they've cut, sadly, limbs off of these things hundreds of times and they'll just grow back. So the axolotl is actually the logo for Upgrade Labs. Like these are literally Wolverine walking around. You can destroy their brain, but if you destroy any other body part, it just comes back.
It's like a tardigrade.
Tardigrades are cool too.
They're gnarlier than the axolotl.
They are. Outer space.
Tardigrades, bro.
They're kind of scary.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to fuck with one.
I think we should actually elect one for public office because it would do a better job than whoever is in whatever the office is.
Could you imagine if Biden got some tardigrade genetics? It would be so amazing.
I'm so nonpartisan. I'm like, just don't tell me what to do. I don't give a crap what party you're at.
Like, dude, we got to figure out tardigrade genetics.
I know that they've been sequenced, and if you guys don't know, these are those called water bears. Those little six-legged things that are microscopic and slightly bigger, and they can survive radiation, vacuum, freezing, microwaving. They're just about indestructible.
So. They do something with their DNA. I don't actually know. This is very elementary, basic, butchered version of what they do, but they do something where they're able to extract the bacteria or some information from that environment and adapt that to their own and their own DNA. And so if they're in a really hot environment, they'd be like, cool, they'll go out, they'll kind of like make themselves porous for a moment. I'm kind of making all this up. This is my like vision of what's happening. They'll extract information from the environment, probably in the form of bacteria or something like. They get that in of like, what's surviving here? And then they can just figure out a way to survive. So if it gets really cold, if there's no oxygen, whatever the freak the thing is, they can become porous, take the information from the environment, and then adapt that to themselves.
I don't know if that's
close to accurate, but
all species do that, including us.
And yeah, I guess you're kind of right.
And that's part of
eating a new diet.
It's not even like that. It's that when your mother, 3 months before you were conceived, the mitochondria in her ovaries read the environment around her and chose the egg that was most likely to survive in that environment based on nutrient supply, based on sunshine, based on stress levels, all that stuff.
Mm.
Right. And then that egg chose the right sperm from hundreds of them that were trying to get in. And then that was where it began. And we have studies of bacteria too, where you can take bacteria, put them in water that has nothing they can eat. And magically, most of them will die, but a few of them will just change in one generation to be able to eat the nutrient source that's there.
Mm.
So this is going beyond epigenetics even. And we're just realizing that the mitochondrial DNA, which mutates relatively quickly, that's where it's at for environmental sensing. And it's where it's at for healing and regenerative medicine.
I want to take a moment and share something that has been invaluable to my own personal healthcare. That is getting my blood work done and checking my specific biomarkers with LifeForce. They're incredible because they have at-home phlebotomists. They come to you, which that's one of the biggest pain in the butts for me, is like going and getting my blood somewhere. I don't want to do that. And then shortly after that, you get your results back and you can see exactly what is happening with you in their very easy to use user interface. Then you set up a call. It's absolutely free, or it's a part of the membership, to speak with one of their functional medicine doctors. The gal that I talked to was incredible. I asked her every question I possibly could, and she had amazing answers for everything. And then they offer you suggestions based off of your specific blood work, what is happening with you specifically, which is so important. I can't emphasize that enough. And they go over lifestyle suggestions, they go over nutritional suggestions, then offer nutraceuticals as well as peptide therapy and hormone therapy if that is something that is supportive for you. That is all stuff that you can talk to with them to see if that would be something that would make sense for you. I would always go for the low-hanging fruit first, make sure that you are adjusting your lifestyle and your nutrition first. And then on top of that, there are some things that sometimes it can be very supportive to start to supplement in an exogenous way. So these guys are fantastic. I've had an amazing experience. Their membership is just, it's something that's been invaluable in my life, just to remove all of the guesswork from my nutrition as well as some lifestyle choices, make sure my sleep is good, make sure everything that I'm putting into my body is on point. And they're also measuring for optimization, not just average baseline. So I love these guys. I think they're invaluable. I think you guys will dig them. And you can get $200 off of your membership by going to mylifeforce.com/align. That's mylifeforce.com/align. I implore anyone, get your blood work done, see what's happening with you, get a bird's eye view of your health, and then start moving from there. mylifeforce.com/align. You guys are going to dig them. I want to take a moment and share one of the only supplements that I brought with me on my last trip. I was away for a month and I brought a month supply of AG1. It's something that I took every single morning. I've been taking it every morning for the last couple of years. Something that I heard about originally through Andrew Huberman and gave it a try, and I really dig it. The reason I like it is it is an all-in-one stop to get your vitamins, minerals, and also probiotics in the morning. So if you are lugging around a bunch of supplements like I have historically, this is a great way to lighten your load. It also tastes delicious. One of the things that I do is I put it in a blender with some ice, I blend it up, and it just tastes incredible. Sometimes I'll add a little electrolytes in there as well, and I feel great. My mind feels sharp afterwards, and it is an amazing asset to bring with you traveling. So if you want to take ownership of your health, it starts with AG1. Try AG1 and also get a free 1-year supply of vitamin D and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first purchase. All you gotta do is go to drinkag1.com/align. That's drinkag1.com/align. Hope you guys enjoy.
What frequencies, if say you have some type of severed tendon, ligament, toe surgery, whatever the thing is, and you're having dysregulated charge or voltage throughout that the site of the injury, what specific frequencies would be the best to start to bring that back into to balance or homeostasis?
The question you're asking is like, well, what's the note of music I should play? But the real question is, should I be playing Mozart or Eminem? It's
I like Tupac.
There you go. It's like the same thing with brainwaves. So I want to be in an alpha state. I'm like, oh, really? Close your eyes. There, you're in an alpha state. But you actually wanted to play a beautiful song with your brain, with your brainwaves. So they're aligned. So the question on frequencies, it's a rotating bank of frequencies. And I would go straight to either... there's a company called NES that's really good. My friend Harry Massey runs that, and he now runs Energy for Life, which is another, I think, in the same spectrum. Or I would call up Dr. Jerry Tennant, or just use the Tennant system. That's been used by tens of thousands of practitioners.
That's the frequency-specific microcurrent.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it's called the Tennant system.
Yeah, Tennant, Jerry Tennant. And he wrote a book called Healing is Voltage, and goes into what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I'm familiar with that book, yeah.
So,
it's like a seminal.
Yeah, it's a seminal work in the field, yeah. And he's still alive. His son runs the company mostly, but what's going on there is he has a device that plays a lot of different frequencies, so you can kind of dial up what you want to do, and it'll sweep up and down to find exactly the right one that matches you. Yeah. So it's not like...
Oh, interesting.
If you're like, well, what's your favorite song? Well, we're going to have different favorite songs, but that's the song you needed to heal.
Wow. Like that. It's kind of like HRV.
Yeah.
It's like that variable relation to what's happening in your physiology.
Perfect.
Mm.
So let's talk some more about healing. So let's say you got a signal in the body, knows it needs to heal. It has enough voltage. You're not eating things that ruin mitochondrial function. You did some of that stuff I just talked about. Maybe you're doing hyperbaric chambers, which are shown to speed healing.
Yeah.
I would also...
They mobilize stem cells on an exponential level, from my understanding. It seems like higher atmospheres of pressure is more advantageous than the lower, if your goal is like deep tendinous type healing, is what I'm told.
We think, but it's still a supposition unless there's a study I don't know about. And I have a hard chamber.
I think there's like animal studies with it.
Okay. Cool. I would believe that. I haven't seen him, but
there's
a reason I have the OxyHealth, the hard metal chamber, like the medical chamber.
What do those go for? They're like 100 some grand?
100 plus, yeah.
Yeah, that's a lot.
So I probably should drive I drive an old Jeep, not a Tesla, but I have a hyperbaric. So those are my priorities.
Yeah, that's good. And you chose to get the hard. They go up to 3 atmospheres. You chose to get the hard compared to the 1.3 of the soft because you thought it was worth the extra 100K.
Yeah, and I've had the 1.3s. I've actually had 2 of them for more than 10 years from OxyHealth.
Yeah.
Those work very well, especially for brain stuff, but.
Mm-hmm, exactly. Like, that's what, I heard lower atmospheres is good for like neurological health and like minor injuries. But if you want to get like deep into the bone marrow to mobilize stem cells and things like, this is out of my depth. This is just me talking to experts and gathering information as fast as I can. That higher atmosphere in around like the 2 range really does have a significant difference from what I'm told from people that are really deep in that space.
There's in hyperbaric medicine, in electrical medicine, in neurofeedback, and in stem cells, we have this incredible climate of my stuff works and everyone else is wrong.
Yeah, exactly.
It's so dirty. It's one of the reasons that I started the biohacking conference and the movement was to bring all those different camps together to talk about cross-pollinating.
Yeah.
Because I'm tired of people saying, you know, this kind of stem cell works, everything else is deadly. That's actually probably not true. You can talk about risks and benefits of each one. And that's why I'm kind of a tourist. And I've gone, I've tried all of the crazy billionaire treatments in order to write Superhuman. And the reason my tissues look like they do is as I've done aggressive anti-aging strategies, as aggressive as I can afford, for 20 years.
What are the chemical ones? What are like the stem cells, the exosomes? You mentioned 2 other things, I think, out before we were talking.
I'm actually about to do gene therapy, which is going to
be right.
In another week or so. And I'll talk more about that after the experience.
You do it, probably, yeah.
Yeah, and that's been on my list for 20 years. You just couldn't get it done.
So like it's like CRISPR for adults?
Related, yeah. But it's not about editing your actual gene line in a way that'd be transmissible, and you can turn it off, which is really important. You can take a specific pharmaceutical that stops all of the new additions you added to your system. But the new additions will probably take another 9 years off my epigenetic age.
I want to CRISPR myself and not having this little back hair around my neck. Such a pain in the ass. I'll try to buzz it myself.
I actually have the gene for that. You can borrow it.
Nice.
It's from the Neanderthals.
Nice.
There's a Neanderthal gene for less back hair. That's
I don't have back hair, for the record. Neck hair.
I know. I saw some hair.
But I don't get it.
Some hairs back there.
Right? It just stops. It stops. But I get the buzzer. It's a whole thing.
I'm over it, bro.
It
was the only useful thing I got out of 23andMe was knowing that I had less back hair than average. I felt, you know,
nice.
Lovable. Finally.
How's your bush?
You know,
got a strong bush.
Recently trimmed.
Nope. Manscaped? You Manscaped guy?
Dude, this is the last thing I forgot to be talking about. Here's the deal. If you're going to go to Burning Man and you're going to be dusty, you don't want a large bush before Burning Man because it holds all the dust. And you could say, well, Dave, aren't you wearing pants? No,
this spreads the pheromones for the hippie chicks. Hippie chicks love pheromones.
I may or may not have walked around with just a hat and boots. Yeah, just one morning.
What are you thinking about sun exposure on the nuts to stimulate the Leydig cells to boost testosterone? Right. There's a little research there.
I think I wrote the first blog post about that a long time ago.
Intuitively, it feels right.
Wait, here.
Anus. I'm anal neutral.
Do you know about butthole sunning? Like where all that stuff came from?
No.
Okay. There was one yoga person who didn't have much of a following. I don't remember her name, or I would say it. And yeah. she was like, oh my God, I'm doing my, you know, butthole sunning. And
feels good.
It's like having a cup of coffee. I don't. And this was clearly someone who's done maybe too much yoga on ketamine or something.
Yeah.
And I thought it was hilarious. So I'm in the Bahamas on a private beach. And so I like, you know, happy boyfriend pose from yoga class. Yeah. And I'm like, hey, Lana, take a picture without, you know, anything you don't want to see. So I posted it, and it was a complete humor post. And I said, hey guys, you might have seen the post about how getting sunlight on your balls raises testosterone. There's two studies that support that.
I'm in alignment with that.
Okay.
Feels right. I mean, I don't fucking know, red but light, makes
red,
sense.
Red light works too. You can put a red light therapy device in your pants, you get the same benefit.
Yeah, that penetrates.
Well, you're getting the electricity in the balls, they grow.
Makes sense.
So, and then I said, but there's absolutely no scientific evidence for sunlight on your butt. And then because it's a humor post, mm-hmm. I'm like, but watch out. If you get a sunburn, it's like eating spicy Mexican food.
Sure.
Right. And it's just like.
Have you ever got a sunburn on your anus, Dave Asprey?
I have not.
Me neither.
I don't sunburn. It takes exceptional amounts of sunlight because.
You need a lot of sun on your anus.
It's because of what I eat. So I think my hips will get sore from holding my legs apart that long.
Happy baby is not your pose.
I'm great at happy baby, but I mean, for like 2 hours to get sunburned, I don't want to do that.
I get that.
I'm busy.
Yeah. I respect that about you.
It's the worst interview ever. All right. So, anyway, this post, the New York Post picks up the article and it says "Biohacker Bro Burns Bum" was their headline, and I'm like, "Did
it was with you?
Yeah,
oh, that's
but,
fun."
But it was like it was a joke, guys. Like, there's no scientific reason to get sun on your butt unless you have yeast or parasites or something coming out of your butt.
It'd be a sanitary thing.
Yeah,
like there would be. At least sun is very healing, yeah, and it's very sanitizing.
Put ozone in your butt instead. It'll work way better because you get the insides too.
All right,
and that I do.
Can we back to stem cells and exosomes? Yeah,
except we have to talk about butts some more because ozone therapy intravenously or in your butt will speed mitochondrial healing. Mm. If you lift a weight, your body builds more muscles. If you temporarily expose yourself to ozone, it'll sterilize a bunch of stuff.
What is ozone exactly? Can you explain for the layman, sure. i.e. me?
Ozone is that smell after a lightning storm or when there's an electrical spark, that kind of like post-rain thing. And it smells good in tiny doses. You might have seen ozone air cleaners. It's just an O3 molecule. It's three oxygens together, which means it's really unstable, and that one extra oxygen has got to stick to something. So it'll rust metal, it'll degrade things, it'll break down almost any bad smell, almost any chemical. Mm. The cool thing is bacteria, viruses, parasites, they have no ability to defend against us.
Yeah.
But our cells use ozone and hydrogen peroxide, they're very similar, as part of our immune defense to get rid of viruses and bacteria. So what you do is you go to a functional doctor, and especially post-surgery, this is a big deal, and you mix your blood with ozone gas, which transforms the blood, highly oxygenates the blood, and then sends this signal throughout the body to make your mitochondria better at creating antioxidants.
Interesting.
So each cell in the body can suck at protecting itself from oxidative stress, or it can be good at protecting itself. So what should you do? You should train the cells with ozone, like once a week at least. And if you do that, you'll have cells that can handle oxidative stress better than a normal human.
And that'll expedite healing.
Massively. It's the thing.
And you
that
can get, is there a brand of, could you get like an at-home ozone thing? Absolutely. Or is that something you want to go to a clinic?
There's a couple interviews I've done, I think with Frank Schallenberger is the most important one on the Human Upgrade.
Okay.
And we talk about it, and there's three or four companies, ozone machines that you can use at home or clinically run about $1,000. And if you're on a real budget, you can buy them as low as $250 from China, but you don't really get the dose exactly metered right. So I recommend spending about $1,000, maybe $1,500. You get this, you get a tank of welding oxygen. It lasts you for years. Mm. And you can treat any infection anywhere in the body with ozone if you know what you're doing. And it's also there's a C word, actually both of the C words that you shouldn't say unless you want to get to regulatory authorities.
Yeah.
One rhymes with dancer and the other one is a type of crow, if you remember earlier in the show. So both of those do not like ozone.
Yeah.
So ozone therapy brought me back from chronic fatigue and brain fog and healed a lot of the diseases of aging I had in my 30s. It's because it adds electrons and it makes your cells better at handling life, because life is basically oxidative stress. It's called ox redox reaction inside your cells. So it's creating oxidation, cleaning it up, create oxidation, clean it up. And that's where electrons come out of the system or oftentimes extra inflammation.
Yeah.
If your body is better at that, you heal faster. So regenerative medicine should start there. And then we get into the sexy stuff, but not where you think we're going. Before you go do exosomes and stem cells.
And what was the other thing you mentioned before? There was another thing. It was there was a gal, and you're like, oh, this is something that would be interesting.
Oh, Marcella Madera.
Yeah. What was that?
That's called V cells.
Yes, I want to talk about that as well.
So,
if you're available for it.
Yeah, we'll talk about that. And there's an episode with Marcella on the Human Upgrade as well.
Amazing.
So, what you want to do? Well, V cells are. We'll lump those in with types of stem cells.
Okay.
They're not technically stem cells, but they're close enough. So yeah. We'll get there. But before you do that, especially pre and post surgery, you should do what I had my dad do a while ago. And I'm going to tell that story quickly because it illustrates how powerful this is and what's happening in medicine today. Mm. This is almost 20 years ago. He had to go in and get a hernia surgery repaired. Like he had a massive hernia from a surgical thing that went wrong. And I said, well, why don't we put you temporarily on growth hormone and testosterone?
Sure.
And he says, all right. So he does it. And he comes back after surgery. So he's doing it before surgery, day after surgery, week after surgery. He comes back a week later and the doctor's like, what is going on? Like you heal twice as fast as you're supposed to.
Yeah, if you're able to do it.
And here's what happens. My dad goes, well, would you like me to tell you how I did it? And the surgeon goes, no, it's just a miracle. And would not listen to a conversation about bioidentical testosterone and growth hormone. Mm. So I would absolutely be on those. The problem is right now in many sports, but not all sports, we are discriminating against middle-aged athletes by preventing them from using normal levels of physiological hormones.
It's so silly.
You should be on like thyroid and testosterone. Dude,
you can't even do peptides.
You know, the people who are doing that, I hope there's like a new golf league in Saudi Arabia or actually, no, it's in Dubai, isn't it? You know what I'm talking about?
No.
I'm not a golfer. I don't. Mm-mm. And with it, there's a new league somewhere. And I think there's a new football league. So whoever is making the new sporting leagues and poaching the best ones from the existing ones, take off the limits on hormones. Just make levels be published so you know they're not going beyond normal. You will have much more interesting games. The athletes will be healthier and happier, more functional.
Yeah, I agree more.
You know, like Nick Foles has been on my show and you work with so many like elite level athletes. It's mean. Like we should let them heal.
Anyway. The regulators are a bunch of nerds. That's what I've established.
Yeah. Who regulates the regulators? Me.
Yeah.
This is my world.
Yeah. I'm it's like, it's another thing that actually creates a little bit of irritation within me. I'm like, bro, like let the athlete smoke a little weed and like meditate and do yoga, like get off their back. What are we talking about?
It's almost like they think they own the athletes.
Yeah. It feels almost like a little bit of some kind of like some trauma in there within the regulator.
Yeah, no kidding, right? Yeah, like, if you're a regulator, just hear this. Your mother loves you.
Yeah.
There we fixed it. I don't know what's going on with these guys.
Go.
But when it comes to anti-aging, it sucks because athletes take the most hits and then they need the most anti-aging, but they have to stop playing in order to take care of their bodies. So I've worked with a few on regenerative and longevity strategies. And you do this amazing work on your tissue things.
Yeah.
Because if you have an old injury like I did, it affects how you move, which affects how you age. So you want to get that, but that's little stuff.
Yeah.
What you really want to consider, do a hormone panel and do a thyroid panel.
Mm.
And for healing, thyroid controls electricity in the body. If you don't have thyroid, you're low energy. Your battery's halfway dead.
Mm.
And if you want to heal quickly, I would actually add thyroid to be slightly, I'm going to piss off every doctor out there, very slightly hyperthyroid.
Mm.
I would want to push TSH to about like 0.75 unless they're getting like extra heartbeats and stuff like that.
Mm.
And the reason for that is I want to supercharge the battery just for a month or two. You can dysregulate yourself doing that. So you go slightly over and then you taper off. I think everyone over 40 who doesn't have extra thyroid function should be on a very tiny dose of a thyroid replacement. Because you want to maintain the electrical levels of a young person instead of just getting slower and slower and fatter and fatter.
Right.
So if you get thyroid and you get testosterone levels and possibly growth hormone for speeding healing, like injected locally, you're going to have crazy results. And you didn't have to go to the stem cell clinic. But now let's talk about that.
Yeah.
And check what we're doing on time.
Yeah, I know. We got to go soon.
We got like 15 more minutes.
Okay, good. This is I really appreciate this. I think this is a really meaningful conversation. But like, this is like an action pack plan for a person to be able to heal their bodies in a quick, efficient way.
Thank you. And this is my pleasure, man. I have spent $2 million over the past, actually probably $3 million now, over the past 20, 25 years on healing and then on anti-aging and longevity and performing at levels you wouldn't believe, including all the 40 years of Zen, the brain stuff to make my brain do things I didn't know it could do in my body. And I'm just grateful to all the experts and people who've done all the hard work. And I like to curate it like you do.
Yeah, right.
So I'm doing my best to structure this like I would a course that I was teaching.
Yeah.
And a lot of this is in the documentary, but I know I'm saying some new things and I probably missed some things like hydrogen gas or something.
We're not going to get into. A lot more anus and dick jokes in this one probably than the others.
It's true. Yeah. Those also keep you young.
Yeah.
Because one of my anti-aging strategies, seventh grade sense of humor will keep you young.
So. Yeah, if you're not playing, you're missing it. If you're like cooperative play, a la Stephen Porges and other smart people, like that's the top of the hierarchy for, as far as nervous system regulation.
Have you had him on?
Stephen no, Porges? I'd love to.
Oh my God, he is the most amazing human being. I've interviewed him a couple times.
Yeah,
this is the guy who invented
polyvagal theory.
Who first understood polyvagal theory?
Yeah.
What a peaceful, enlightened guy.
Hey, sweetie.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've listened to a lot of stuff. Read the polyvagal theory. Well, it's not true. I didn't read it all. It's very big book.
Yeah, it's a dense book.
The book's big. It's like I'm not gonna make it through this thing. But I like I like piece through and I do what I can. I think I've got some kind of little ADHD type thing going on. Well, which I don't love labels like that.
Yeah, you wanna the 1 minute version on how to hack that?
Yeah, sure.
All right.
Dave Asprey, how do we hack ADHD?
I have been diagnosed with ADHD along with the Asperger's, so I got into this. And there's two things today that you can do that we didn't know about. One of them is about $500 device called Mendi, MEND.io. And I think the code is Dave if you want to save some money, but don't trust me on that. If you have your own code, give. I don't know. I just like to say people
don't have a code. Whatever.
Okay, no. I'm actually now an advisor to the company. Through just serendipity, met the CEO. But 10 years ago, I used a similar technology that was hand soldered to train my ADHD away. Mm-hmm. What it is a game you play on your phone while reading blood flow in the front of your brain. And you can train yourself to move blood to the front of your brain.
That's like a neurofeedback.
It's not based on electricity at all. It's based on blood flow. It's called HEG instead of EEG. Mm-hmm. But the reason it works for ADHD is that moving blood to the front, that's where you're lacking metabolic function when you can't pay attention. Mm. I almost failed out of Wharton Business School. That's why I also put modafinil on the biohacking roadmap because that's what saved me to get my MBA. Yeah. So for ADHD, do Mendi.io. Every 10 minutes of training with HEG feedback raises your TOVA score permanently by about a point.
What's in TOVA studies. Score?
It's the gold standard for measuring whether you have ADHD or not.
Oh.
I don't remember what it stands for. It's like something attention, votility, I don't remember.
Yeah.
So that's one thing. The other thing, and it's funny, I just interviewed this guy. It isn't even public on my show yet. And it is a company called Endeavor. And go to endeavorotc.com. It's a video game, costs about $100 a year, that is clinically shown in multiple studies. You play it for 25 minutes a day for 6 weeks, and it has meaningful improvements in ADHD. And it's a game where you're like navigating a little thing down a stream. But it's using something called a Stroop test. So that's how to get the brain back. And after that, you go to 40 years of Zen, do neurofeedback, and like there's all kinds of crazy stuff. But those two things specific for ADHD, and stop eating gluten and stop eating cow dairy protein because they're probably the cause.
There. About raw?
It's probably still the cause for people with ADHD, but you can experiment.
All right.
Yeah, cool. And sometimes MSG and stuff. But
all right, we got the shot clock is ticking. We have like 12.2 minutes. Can we touch on exosomes?
Yeah.
The other thing that you said from the gal.
I got you. Let me just walk you through the hierarchy of understanding of these things.
Yeah.
Your body makes stem cells, different types of stem cells, and secretes them when you need them. Your stem cells get less functional as you age, and they get less present as you age. So in Superhuman, my regenerative medicine.
Less present from like a quantitative perspective.
Yeah.
It's not called, like, not
it's
like.
It's called stem cell exhaustion. It's one of the seven big causes of aging.
Yeah.
So if you're 70, your stem cells work like 70-year-old stem cells, not like 20-year-old stem cells, which are more robust. Mm. And then you just have less of them. And so your body can't regenerate. So since we're talking about regenerative medicine, you would want to do something about that. So the two places you have stem cells are in your bone marrow and in your fat. So traditionally, and most studied and safely, you can have someone go into your bone marrow and take them out. I've done it twice. There's a video online somewhere of me. You hear like it feels weird when they're hammering on something and it's your skeleton.
Where do they go?
The iliac crest on your hip, on your back. So you're laying there on the table and you feel like your bones are jarring. It doesn't really hurt. It just feels like the most odd sensation ever.
Receptors.
It's weird. And then like that the final thing,
that's where they go.
There's like an awl. It's like, but you feel it in your bones. It was the creepiest thing ever. So I did that, and they take your bone marrow out and they spin it and they pull out those types of stem cells and growth factors. And then in your fat, they get it with liposuction. And I did a Facebook Live when they were doing it. And it's a needle about this long, about a foot long. And they just stick it in and out along your abdomen to pull fat out, about a coffee cup's worth of fat. And then they spin that down. And there's a lot more stem cells in fat than in blood. And then depending on where and how they're treating you, they put them in different places in your body. In my case, because I'm a biohacker and I'm lazy, I co-invented the six hands whole body stem cell makeover at doTERRA Clinics. And what that was, well, knock me out and inject it starting at my toe joints in every joint in the body, in every spinal facet, every elbows, fingers, everywhere in the body, plus skin, hair, and reproductive system, and intravenously.
The dong. Freak yeah, bro.
By the way, I just have to drop this. We don't have time in this.
Yeah.
The amount of regeneration and tissue transformation possible in that part of the body is amazing. If you go to moredave.com, I have like a list of all the technologies that let you enhance male and female, not just pleasurable fun stuff, but like actually structure and function. Because as you age, if you can't have sex, aging isn't as fun.
You use Shockwave for the dong too.
Very potent.
Angiogenesis.
I've had stem cells and Shockwave at the same time.
Yeah.
And holy crap, changes happen.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's part of regeneration, but we're going back to the stem cells.
Yeah.
So the other type of stem cells that some people know about is...
Shockwave is sound frequencies.
That's right.
Yeah. Set to a specific frequency that causes, I would imagine, blood vessels to, like, it's like harmonized with them and cause them probably to reverberate in some subtle levels, my guess. I don't know how it works. It causes
distress, which causes them to grow. So you grow new blood vessels and new nerves. And if you think about what would happen to either a vagina or a penis, if it had more blood vessels, it would have more engorgement and get bigger.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Tumescent. Yeah.
That's what happens.
You ever use that word, tumescent?
You know, it's actually probably a good name for a supplement brand.
Or turgid.
That's too turd-like. I wouldn't want to like shop for a if there was a condom named Turgid, I wouldn't buy it. But if it's called Tumescent, I would buy it.
Two of my favorite words.
But that's been one of my fantasy marketing tasks ever. I want someone to hire me to name condoms.
Oh, yeah.
Because my seventh grade sense of
humor. Turgid's a great name.
I would laugh for like 2 months straight coming up with stupid names. And it would just bring me the most joy. And it's just stupid humor.
Turgid's pretty good.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, they did a good job.
All right, back to stem cells.
Yeah.
With stem cells, you could use your own. And what I believe is the best.
Safest
way to do this would be to take your cells out, put them in a bioreactor and grow billions of stem cells and then put them back in. And in most countries, you can do this just fine. In the US, the FDA believes that as soon as your cells leave your body, they become the FDA's property and they become a drug that's unregulated. And can I swear on your show?
I think I've sworn 35 times already.
So
I just said sword.
Okay. Anyone who thinks that they own any part of my biology can fuck off, because that's an act of war against humanity. Like, that is unacceptable. This is my biology.
I don't disagree with that.
Right. So there you go.
Yeah.
I'm not partisan at all, but anyone who supports my ability and right to manage my own biology, that's someone who's cool. And anyone who's against that is an evil bastard of a human being and needs to be removed from office, if not the planet.
Yeah.
Hard stop.
Yeah.
All right. There we go.
Bam.
Evil is as evil does.
Bam.
So
they probably just need love.
Love from a chainsaw?
No, I think they just, you know, they feel if a person's exercising excessive control or like authoritative control, they probably feel out of control at some deep subconscious, mental, emotional, psychological level.
We're going to hit this on the next podcast. I'll tell you, that's true of narcissists and not true of sociopaths. That's my next book is I'm writing about that stuff because I've had enough of those guys wrecking my companies.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, to not feel. I mean, at some point, if you don't feel emotion, you probably were cut off from emotion at some point earlier in your life. And so it's like whatever you were feeling was too intense. So it would be an adaptive strategy to remove yourself from feeling.
You nailed it. And by the way, if you can't feel, you have no intuition and you won't heal very well either. You'll have.
Oh, it would be cacophony at a cellular level.
And it shows in your face and the way you hold your body and it shows in the way you
That's why I say the body doesn't lie. Like that's the thing that I like about the body is I'm able to detect, well, I mean, unless I could be totally crazy and just living in illusion, which, you know, if I was, I wouldn't know. But I can detect so much, or any person can detect so much from the state of a person's nervous system from the body, and the state of the person's nervous system, like it's really, really tough to manipulate that with words, I can just tell a lie.
Yeah.
It's not that big a deal. But when you're able to actually feel like what is the tone of the person's nervous system as they're communicating, that's the thing that's really quite challenging. And then like body language and, you know, postural positions and facial gestures and, you know, are they clenching their sphincters as they're just walking through the world? There's deep tension in that body. And then you can start to extrapolate, you know, the meaning of that tension. But words are just, you just fucking lie all day.
Well, all you have to do is turn on the TV. And then, you know, you see lies all the time.
Yeah. Well, and it's just a bunch of old guys that are totally disconnected from probably like the country or the world reading off a fucking teleprompter.
There you go.
Yeah. Right, I don't know anything about politics.
Back to stem cells.
All right, yeah. Stem cells.
if voting changed anything, they'd make it illegal.
Yeah.
But here's the deal.
Yeah.
You ready for this?
I'm here.
Your mitochondria and therefore your stem cells actually do vote.
Mm.
Something called quorum sensing, where your mitochondria each detects the world around it and decides what it thinks the world's doing, and it votes with its friends using the same algorithms we use in crypto today, which is super elegant. And then they decide, should I be stressed? Should I not be stressed? Should I heal? Should I not heal? Is there enough energy? Is it a good environment? And this is why that idea of biohacking, change the environment around you and inside you to control your biology, you got to tell the mitochondria that they're safe and convince enough of them that they're safe that they believe each other. And that's why at the site of an injury, then you want to be able to make the rest of the cells feel like they have tons of nutrients, tons of energy, and all the right signals. And one of the things that is massively important is trace minerals.
Sure.
And the reason my tissues are the way they are is, number one, I made collagen into a $1 billion industry about 10 years ago by saying, guys, put it in your coffee, like collagen matters. It became, you know, a big trend. And collagen is important, but not too much. Like 20, maybe 30 grams a day is all you need. Very excessive doses of collagen, in some people at least, could cause deposition of calcium via oxalate pathways. Same reason you don't eat kale and spinach, at least if you're paying attention, you don't, is you wouldn't want to have, you know, 2 pounds of collagen every day.
Yeah.
But I think it's hard to overdo it. So anyway, I'm digressing a little bit there.
That's okay.
You need minerals to form collagen and you need extra minerals to heal. And if the body senses you're lacking even one trace mineral it needs, it cannot make an enzyme to heal and it'll slow healing until it gets the minerals. And that's why Danger Coffee is my new coffee brand. And it has large amounts of trace and microtrace minerals. So my body is always replete with minerals that get taken out of your body by a lot of the paleo foods and a lot of the so-called, you know, plant-based foods that are pulling minerals out. So I think mineral sufficiency and vitamin Dake are terribly important. And so guys, danger.
Vitamin Dake?
Yeah.
The hell is that?
Go to vitamindake.com. This is the combination of D-A-K-N-E.
Okay.
And the reason a lot of people say, I need my D3. No, D3 without A and K will cause tissue calcification. So I just look at them as one vitamin in the right ratios. And
I love that.
VitaminDake.com, all the stuff is there about which ratio and why. And so if you want to heal quickly, you have to have enough minerals. Mm-hmm. You have to have fat-soluble minerals. You should have your thyroid, your testosterone, and then we got into stem cells. We know where they are in the body. you could do things like hyperbaric or hot and cold therapy that sure. activate stem cells, make them more active.
Yeah.
There are supplements that probably cause your stem cells to release a little bit more from your bone marrow.
Like what?
I'm blanking on its name.
All right, no worries.
It's like $170 a month. Don't worry about it. You would take it like while you're injured and for a while, but don't take it every day, because if you overstimulate secretion of stem cells for 10 years, you'll run out.
Whoa.
Right? So I think you want to pulse it. Or you could do what I do, is grow them in a dish and stick them back in. And so twice I've had every joint and everything in my body.
So that when you're taking them from your own body, you are taking them out, multiplying them, and putting them back in as a process.
It's called culture expanded. And
right.
now,
what do you think of that compared to what they call day zero stem cells, i.e. like from the umbilical cord or embryo of a fetus?
This is going to make half of stem cell people very angry and the other half cheer. Like I said, it's very tribal.
I know. I've
all of them that. Have good and bad.
Yeah.
In the last 10 years of doing lots of stem cell therapy, I would only use culture expanded umbilical cells if I was going to use umbilical cells. Because what they're doing there is they're taking umbilical cells from one person.
Yeah.
They're putting them in a lab. They'll test it very extensively.
Yeah, they're finding the best.
Yeah. And then they'll treat thousands of people because it's like having a farm. They're the seeds. They just keep growing new stem cells.
Yeah.
And I've had very profound results on my health from using those. I know that they work. Now, you could argue, and some people do, that type of stem cell, culture expanded umbilical cells, well, they might be expanded too many times, so they might not be as effective. I don't think that's very real.
They keep testing them, don't they?
Yeah, but there's like, well, how many times can they replicate before they start getting weaker?
Right.
They account for that because when they culture expand them, they put them in a stressful environment, so only the strong survive. So these are like,
oh, interesting.
You know, thousands of generations of only the strong survive. So I think that's what I would want to do. Unfortunately, in the U.S., it's hard to do that because the regulators don't like that. So I have my own stem cells that are taken out and culture expanded in the same environment, and I can just order 100 billion of those if I get injured and I put them in.
But year 50 compared to day zero stem cells, what's the comparison there?
Well, I pulled those out when I was 40, so I have 40-year-old stem
cells. Which I don't actually know how old you are, but I'm just saying a person, yeah. if they're getting into regenerative medicine, they're probably entering in 40s, 50s, 60s, whatever. So like year older compared to day zero.
So as soon as you can, you should get your stem cells taken out and banked, so you always have stem cells at that age. So calendar says I'm 50. The lab tests say I'm 39.
Yeah.
And my
stem cells. How old are you?
I'm 50.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's great. I just guessed.
Yeah, but it's funny because my labs, like the true age and all that, say that I'm 39, and I'll probably be about 32 after the next intervention I do.
Yeah, cool.
So
what do you think about Brian Johnson?
I was actually, I like Brian, even on the neuro side. We talked before he started on his anti-aging path about his neuro company called Kernel.
Yeah.
And I've spent $2 million to reverse my age, and I'm planning to live to 180 and wrote the big book about it.
You and Brian Johnson should fight like Zuckerberg and what's his
face.
There's
no fighting there. So
no, I think you guys should fucking box, bro.
No, I wouldn't want to hurt him. Dude. Just kidding, Brian.
I wonder how that would go.
Well, he's
probably... Dude, that would be a great fight. I would love to see that.
He's probably a little
stronger. Dave Asprey, Brian Johnson.
He's probably a little stronger than I am, but I'm probably a little bigger than he is.
If you guys did you could do like the pre-fight for Musk and Zuckerberg.
Here's
the thing. Would be such an epic night.
I doubt either one of us would do it because neither one of us really wants to get injured because that's something that's bad for aging.
That's a good point.
Right.
Yeah, concussions aren't that cool.
No, they're not. I've had plenty of head injuries and had to recover.
Yeah.
But here's the thing about Brian. I absolutely respect what he's doing. I have never had $2 million to spend in a year and enough time to focus on doing what he's doing, which is awesome. And he's 46. I started really serious anti-aging when I was about 40 and as much as I could afford before I was 40. But I couldn't do big $100,000 stem cell treatments back then. So where we're ending up is, yes, you can reverse aging. He's done it. I've done it. And he's done it very rapidly and impressively and lives a very rigid lifestyle. You know, I have to go to bed at this time. I don't believe in limiting calories. I used to. I used to try all these things. You don't need to do that.
Yeah.
It's like, I think we're similar body fats. I think my liver fat's slightly lower than his.
Yeah. Who do you think's got a bigger piece?
You know. Someone asked me after I had stem cells and shockwave injected.
Oh, I bet you he's on the shockwave stem cell.
Oh, he has to be. But here's the thing, Aaron.
Path.
So talking about the size of your dick would be really, really douchey. So
sure.
you'd have to ask my girlfriend,
yeah.
But she's too tired.
Oh, good. That's fine. Good. That's good. All right. We got to wrap up.
I didn't have a girlfriend,
we got to wrap up, which is,
hold on.
I don't want to wrap up. I'd love to keep going.
Give me
three
more minutes.
All right. Good.
If you don't have to, I'll call someone from my car.
All right. Good.
I drive a rickety Jeep that's super loud. They don't like when I call them from the car. But
nice. I love that. That's good.
All right. So.
Doesn't look that right. It looks like a tank.
It's pretty fun.
Yeah. It's cool.
Now we
what
have.
What year is it?
It's 10 years old. It's 2014.
Oh, good.
But it's,
and you've just been like bolting on body armor to it?
It's very highly upgraded.
Yeah. And, yeah, so it looks cool. It looks fun.
It has 4,000 hours of build time and like $50,000 of extra parts on it.
Wow.
I didn't have to do all that because I'm lazy.
Yeah.
But the idea is the Jeep that I drive today is better than a new Jeep.
Yeah, I can see that.
In many different ways.
For sure.
It's upgraded.
Yeah.
And since I run Upgrade Labs and I'm upgrading my biology and my brain, it felt right. Like, why don't I make it better than
you
before?
You got an old-ass Jeep that's better than the new ones.
That's
fucking metaphors.
Yeah, so it appealed to me at that level. And it's not very practical. I mean, having a Jeep that can drive up a mountain and drive over a Tesla, but whatever. So back to our stem cell conversation.
Yeah.
We've got marrow cells, more growth factors, less stem cells in the marrow. We've got fat cells or mesenchymal cells, and there's a lot more stem cells there, but less growth factors. And then we have umbilical cells in the US. Umbilical cells are usually from 8 different women who you don't know that are tested for some things, but probably not many other things. And they mix them together and inject them in you. And I know very personally, but not myself, of people who've had very bad host graft response, as in could have died, couldn't walk for months from umbilical stem cells. I think there is meaningful risk. I do not use umbilical cells on myself.
That would be the American version that is heterogeneous, I believe is a term for it, where it's like a varied sample of
stem cells. Yeah, it's a mix of stem cells from umbilical things. Now, right now, I just pissed off half my stem cell friends who are saying, but I make those for my business.
Yeah, maybe.
Guys, show me everything you test for. Show all of us everything you test for and show us that there is no host graft response, because I know of a few cases of it. And
you're saying it would be safer to do the stuff that they can do in Tijuana, Panama, anywhere else.
The safest thing is to do your own cells.
Second safest, you would say, is the stuff you can do in Panama, Tijuana, et cetera.
Or probably Costa Rica, like RMI has a good facility in Costa Rica.
And with that, you're able to extract the strongest stem cells and replicate them 50 million times and then blast joints or body or whatever with that.
Numbers.
And you have the consistency of that.
Yeah, I've been down to RMI to do their stuff.
Yeah.
In fact, another friend was down there with me. Mm. It's a profound thing when you get stem cells. If you feel like this pulse of energy that just lasts and lasts, but you might be tired for a couple of days.
Yeah.
What I think you would want to consider if you were going down this is another type of stem cells that you can do in the US that aren't really stem cells. And I wrote about those in Superhuman as well. It's called V cells, V-S-E-L-S. Yeah. And I talked with Marcella Madera about this on my show. The one I'm going to introduce you to because she's in Austin.
Cool.
So V cells are, you take out your blood. Okay, it's easy to get blood. It's hard to get bone marrow. That hurts.
Yeah.
And then you spin the blood like you would with platelet-rich plasma. You pull out the V cells, and then you use either a laser or ultrasound. The laser seems to work better. And then activates these stem cell-like cells that are what's called pluripotent, which means they can turn into the type of cells you want.
Yep.
These are super tiny, so they can enter the brain. They can enter places that normal large stem cells can't, and they do the same thing. So if I was in the US right now, I would consider getting my stem cells extracted the way I did in Utah, or I would consider doing V cells because the V cells are cheaper and less painful.
Yeah,
you can inject them directly into a knee or a heel or a somewhere along the spine, and I've had all of those done. Mm. I've even had them put in my cerebral spinal fluid so they would go straight to the brain.
Yeah, sure.
And this is kind of at the cutting edge. Now, there's also exosomes. Anytime you have one of these forms of stem cells, they find inflammation, they stick for about 6 weeks, and they sit there and they kind of pulse out exosomes. So exosomes are stem cell poop. And it's their poop that causes healing in tissues around them. And in any of these things we talked about, except possibly V cells, what's happening is the stem cells, after 6 weeks, they're done. But they've secreted so many exosomes that it worked really well. Mm-hmm. The alternative, and what I would do and have done many times after procedures, is you take stem cell poop that's purified, which is called exosomes. They're very safe. You can buy them. They have varying degrees of some manufacturers make much better ones than others. But you buy them and you inject them. So I've had, I don't know, 50, maybe 75 vials of exosomes injected over time. And mm-hmm. if you're looking at me going, Dave, those run about $1,000 to $2,000 a piece. Yeah, like I said, I'm serious about living forever and I will put all of my resources into doing that. Mm-hmm. Actually, living until I'm done, I'm fine with that too.
Yeah.
But so those are great because they stimulate healing everywhere or where you inject them. So if I had a recent surgery like I did on my foot, I injected the exosomes all around the site of the injury so that there would be more exosomes present to stimulate healing more quickly. That is very safe, easy to do.
Where would you recommend a person does exosomes?
Almost any functional medicine practitioner will do them now.
Okay, cool.
It's very, very common.
All right. And V-cells? Is that something?
V-cells are very unusual. Marcella Madera does them in Austin.
Okay. Would you stack both of those with the person if they wanted to we're talking the absolute fastest cutting edge of capacity of human healing.
100%. In fact, I did that last time I was there at our clinic. Mm. So you can inject V cells and exosomes at the same time, and then she'll use a specific laser to guide the V cells to where you want them to go.
Wow.
So you would inject the V cells around the injury, usually using a 3D x-ray, and then you would do some intravenously and you would use the laser. And strangely, because they were activated by the laser, they're attracted to that kind of light. It's super cool. It's like laser guided stem cells.
Wow.
So what I would do if I had an injury right now, I would do all the things we just talked about with light and PEMF and hormones and all that kind of stuff.
And also the foundation of all this is I think always going to be sleep, grounding, sunlight, and food. Regular movement, food, nutrition, all of this stuff that I personally believe that we're talking about or you're talking about becomes secondary to that.
After my foot surgery, when I was doing the Heal documentary, I stayed at the Beverly Hilton because we have an upgrade labs there. And I made a deal with the kitchen. I said, look, I'm going to send you guys the most ridiculously large grass-fed steaks I can find. I need you to cook one or two every day.
Yeah.
So for the first 7 days after I ate, I had 2 pounds of grass-fed ribeye every day. I just couldn't get enough. And then on the eighth day, I didn't need 2 pounds.
Would you go keto post-surgery?
Oh, absolutely not. Yeah. No way, no how.
What would you do?
I would take exogenous ketones. Either minimum would be C8 MCTs or something like Ketone IQ, which is not quite a ketone ester, but seems to be the sweet spot for that. And there's all sorts of cellular and inflammation reasons to do that.
Yeah.
And I would have clean, low residue, zero oxalate, zero histamine carbs.
Yeah, so fruit.
Some fruit, not all fruit. Raspberries will fuck you up, and so will pineapple probably. Those are high oxalate foods. Figs are high oxalate. Kiwis are high oxalate. So fruit is not a good or a bad thing. Mm, and that simplification drives me crazy.
Wow.
So some fruits are all right, and some people just don't respond well. A lot of people can't eat apples because it just fucks up your gut.
So you're largely nose-to-tail animals and low oxalate fruit?
And low oxalate fruit and white rice. You can have clean starches. And it's very similar to this thing called the Bulletproof Diet I've been recommending, except I allowed more oxalates in that diet.
What about fermented veggies if you're going to do veggies post surgery?
If you know that you tolerate them, yes. Many fermented veggies have histamine. You already have
so much histamine,
a dysregulated system. Adding histamine because you ate some fermented veggies that weren't fermented right, not a good thing.
So you would go pretty hard, low oxalate fruit. Nose to tail,
and honey,
meat, bone
honey
broth.
Is fine, honey, maple syrup is fine. Even heck,
maple syrup.
Let's be straightforward. If you can do that, you could also do brown sugar as long as it's organic or coconut sugar. They're all the same thing.
Yeah.
Right. So that's also now pissed off a lot of people, but you shouldn't do that if your metabolism can't tolerate carbs. Yeah. I can tolerate carbs very well because I have a healthy metabolism, 8% body fat.
You probably won't like this, but I probably want to cut out coffee and nicotine during that for vasoconstriction.
Why would you cut coffee out?
Doesn't it tighten up blood vessels temporarily? I mean, so does hyperbaric oxygen chambers, and so does cold plunge, and so does everything.
The mitochondrial benefits of coffee are not to be messed with.
Yeah.
You look at AMPK, you look at what it does for your cells. I would not want to go off coffee.
What about nicotine?
I would do up to 5 milligrams of nicotine a day.
Okay.
And there's a real specific reason for that. If you just had an injury, you're not training very much. One of the big things that makes training work biochemically is called PGC1-alpha. So you exercise, you get PGC1-alpha, stimulates growth. The other stimulator of PGC1-alpha is nicotine. So nicotine is an exercise mimetic, and it reverses Alzheimer's disease. Yep. But keep in mind, one cigarette is 20 milligrams of nicotine. 5 milligrams is a quarter cigarette, which is the max dose spread out over a day I'm talking about without ever smoking or using chewing tobacco. I'm talking pharmaceutical nicotine. I did an interview with Dr. Nicotine, I call him, from Vanderbilt years ago on The Human Upgrade, and people get so mad. I'm like, it reverses Alzheimer's disease. It helps you lose weight. So since you're not exercising, having low dose nicotine, I think, is okay. I would not want to go over 5, and I would keep it to 1 or 2 sprays.
Yeah.
And then do other things, like infrared light will overcome both coffee and nicotine in terms of increasing blood flow. It's simple to cause blood flow.
Cool.
Yeah.
Dude, so informative. Thank you so much.
You're so welcome. And also thank you for your just kind of Neo from the Matrix like view of human fascia. It's kind of cool. Like,
oh, cool.
You know, people walk in the door and you're like, oh, your left hip is
right.
like I don't see that, but you do. And
that's cool.
When you go really deep and you intuitively know something, like you know it in your body. Yeah. I do that for longevity, and you do that for movement.
Yeah.
Which is really hard to do. It's really cool. And I know a few people who achieve that level, but it's very, very few who've just really gone to the as far in as you can go in understanding that stuff. So kudos for your practice on that. And thanks, you know, man. You looked at me like, oh, what's going with your shoulder? And I'm like, what just happened?
That's cool. I love that.
It was very helpful for me. So thank you.
Yeah, thank you, brother.
Love getting to share, and love what you share.
Yeah. So the latest book is
Smarter, right here. Not Harder.
Smarter, Not Harder. And who would be, a lot of the stuff that we talked about would be in here, but there's obviously more in here.
The stuff we talked about is more in Superhuman. That's the longevity book. This book is, there's technologies that get what you want way faster than what you're doing today.
Yeah.
So I'll tell you in there how to get, in 15 minutes, how to get 6 times more effective cardio than doing an hour a day. So 15 minutes a week versus 5 hours. With 6 times better results. I try to put on muscle faster than you will from picking up rocks, although from a functional movement perspective, you still need to pick up some rocks occasionally, apparently.
Yeah, skill acquisition is valuable.
Yeah.
And so they're kind of different subjects.
Yeah, I'm not arguing that, like, functional movement, I need more of that.
Yeah.
But I'm doing all right from a muscle perspective,
yeah,
no, right?
Yeah.
So you also, from there, if you want to upgrade your brain, if meditation works, there's things that work faster. So I go through all the technologies, all the techniques to get you stress handling, brains, endurance, muscle, and getting your energy back in the fastest possible way using tech or techniques that we didn't know about 10 or 20 years ago. So
that's cool.
It's pretty neat. It's I think it's one of the best books I've ever written, to be honest.
Yeah, I really value your willingness to kind of like put yourself out there and explore truly, genuinely cutting edge technology and modalities that, you know, at times it's like, we don't really know where this is going exactly, but having people like you, that are willing to explore all those paths and do all the research and aggregate all the information from all the experts. And, it's really really important. Like, I really appreciate your impact on things. So,
thank you.
Yeah. Thank you for this. I got a ton out of this conversation. I think people probably are, this would be like a very shareable conversation for anybody that wants to sort out their connective tissue and their health and longevity.
My show is The Human Upgrade, and I know we have a lot of common listeners between
for
our shows, and I'll be sharing this episode on my social media and all that.
Yeah,
it's good job interviewing, and just how do we heal faster? It's important because everyone gets hurt.
Yeah,
it just happens, and it can have. You can take care of your parents if you're a teenager. You got injured. You wanted to play soccer again, like I did when, you know, I was a fat kid playing soccer.
Yeah,
I would have liked to know this stuff. And you don't have to start with the crazy billionaire stem cells. You can start with the free stuff. And and everything I talk about, here's the free, here's the medium, here's the expensive.
Yeah, so. Most of the stuff that we got into today was like, okay, cool. The foundational stuff. Let's just assume you have that, most of that established. Now let's get weird. So I appreciate you venturing into the weird.
Always.
All right. Thank you, brother. Thank you all for tuning in. That's it. That's all. I'll see you next week. Bye.
conversation. If you did, you can tag myself or Dave Asprey on the Instagram. I'm at Align Podcast. He's at Dave Asprey. Thanks also for checking out the YouTube page. Subscribe over there so you can see the video for this episode as well as instructional content each week. That is it. That is all. Appreciate you. I'll see you next week.